Hej, z tej strony Michał. Być może znacie mnie z wywiadów tekstowych. Moja zajawka do sportu sprawiła, że oprócz pisania zachciało mi się również mówienia. Zapraszam Was do słuchania Michał Winiarczyk Podcast, gdzie rozmawiam z ludźmi sportu i nie tylko. O ich życiu, największych lekcjach, bolesnych porażkach czy momentach szczęścia. Gościem dzisiejszego odcinka jest człowiek, który jako pierwszy Brazylijczyk wygrał tamtejszą siatkarską ligę jako zawodnik i trener. Marcelo Frąckowiak prowadził w karierze m.in. Ricardinho, Marcelo Negrao, Bruno Rezende czy Ricardo Lucarellego. Pracował we Włoszech, kadrach Brazylii i Słowenii, a także w plusligowym Cuprum Lubin. Obecnie odpowiada za wyniki nowego mistrza Francji, Tour.
Hello, coach. It's great to see you. It's a big pleasure to host you in my podcast. First of all, how's your Polish?
Niedobrze. This is a big question. It's an important question for me. You know that my rodzina jest po polsku.
Yes.
Ale moje po polsku nie dobrze. Krok po krok, ale one day I hope that I'm gonna improve my Polish. And during my time at Lubin, I try to study. And I did some steps to improve, but it was really hard. The Polish language, even with a Polish blood I have, it was really hard for me. And I prefer that time to keep more focus about my practice, about my work, than to improve Polish. But I dream with this possibility and by honor about my family.
Could you tell me more about your Polish roots?
Of course. When I start to study about this, I could find people, for example, that they tell me that in a moment in the history of Poland, 1880, about this time, was a big depression and problems, economic problems. And that time also, it was a moment and the Brazilian government start to ask for European immigration. Okay, it was the time that was finishing this, the possibility of to have slaves in Brazil. For example, we are the people, we are the country that the slavery is finished later around the world. Okay, so but first one was USA, after other countries in Europe, and after that Brazil. Pressure from Europe, from pressure from about this really hard and sad situation. So Brazil, that moment, it was a new country with a lot of lands, and they ask and they propose also small money, for example, for Italians, for German, for Polish people. So in my region here, I have a lot of Italians, German, and some Polish people also. And you know, Curitiba is one of the capital in the south department in the south of Brazil. It's around 800 kilometers from my house, from my home. And it's around 800,000 Polish people. I hear something like that. It's a lot. And yeah. So 18, my prabatia, Kashmir Stroda, she is born in 1884. And following the information that I have, she arrived in Brazil 4 years old. And after that, the families, they start to build a new country in the south region. It's my region. And she got married with another Polish Frąckowiak, Brunislav Frąckowiak, and they had 11 children, something like that, okay? And my grandfather, it was Luis João, Frąckowiak. This is the half part of the family, and the other half part of my family come from Italy because my mother has also a Italian passport.
Do you see something in your character from Polish people?
Sure. You know, when we have this kind of origin, we try to study, we try to integrate, to think about this. And Polish people, it's a really strong people, really strong with the capacity to support a lot of problems. When we study the world history also and Europe, you know that Poland is in the center of Europe, between left and west, and how many wars, how many hard situations these people had during his history. I think this capacity that to support and to go strong and straight against problems, doesn't matter the situations. If you don't have many conditions, for example, for me, it was a big pleasure to come back to work in Poland during 3 years, that I could to have this perception. How strong is this people? How open is this people also? How you are able to communicate in another language, to adapt, to go to USA, to come to Brazil, and to make the life goals. And this, I think that I have this kind of situations inside me. You know, Michal, now, for example, I am celebrating 40 years of volleyball, 40, okay? So 20 like as a professional coach, and 13 years in Europe. So it's really important to have this capacity of adaptation and the capacity of, to support situations against us, and to adapt about another cultures, another language. And I am sure that the blood Polish is inside me.
Do you think you will be a player if your brother will not train volleyball?
I don't know. I don't think so. But at least the most important is my father, Roberto Franskowiak. He was crazy about the sports. He motivated us about to practice, to do something with the body, to move. And Andre and me, we tried to play soccer before, okay? It was not so easy for us. Tall guys, big guys, etc. The ability was there. That's not a big problem, but the size to play soccer is not so good to play soccer, almost 2 meters at all. That moment that my brother started to play volleyball, it was amazing about how Brazil could to play and fight against wonderful teams. Polish school had wonderful results in the 7th years, yes, with world championship, Olympic championship. And Brazil start beginning of 80 to be close to Poland, close to Russia, never winning. We had our first big title in Barcelona. But that time, watching my brother, my big brother, playing volleyball, it was something that I had inspiration and motivation just watching and trying to copy my brother. And probably it's the best and the most important influence that I have in my career.
How the Brazilian volleyball look like at the beginning of your professional career?
You know, I think that even volleyball arrived in Brazil before Poland, for example, okay? Because the things that I read, that US Army around the world, they start to promote this new modality, because before it was basket and another modalities. And it's really close to army and really close about turn around the world with the mariners. So they arrive in Asia, they arrive in the South America, and even before some countries in Europe, for example. I think that Brazil, I don't know exactly the register that you have in Poland, but in Brazil they talk about 1910, 1912, something like that. And we could to have a good level of practice, okay, but it was more about clubs. We have one structure in sports like US. We have private clubs in Brazil. We always had these. So people pay to use the structure and to go inside. It's not something public. So the public that play volleyball and the practice volleyball that time, it was really, can I say, with people with good conditions. It was not a poor sports, you understand?
Yes, yes.
But with time, we start to have on the beach also, because it's a continental country with a lot of beaches. And more or less, we could to have some important results. And one really important situation that improve our level and improve the love for these sports inside the public, it was Brazilian Federation start to make contact with Japan Federation, because Japan was one school close to us about size of players, about these technical stuff, and they send Brazilian Federation send a lot of Brazilian players to work and to learn, and coaches also to learn in Japan. Even Zé Roberto, for example, now that is the head coach of women's national team, he had this opportunity to go to Japan and to practice there. And when they come back around then, in the clubs, in national teams, they improve a lot, because the Japan that time, with Poland, for example, was a really good reference.
So now I know why Brazilian players train so long, because it's like from Japanese school, because I just 2 months ago spoke with Roberta Radzke, the setter of women team, and she said that she remembered from playing in Brazil that there was hours and hours and hours of training. And when she joined LKS, the Polish club, she was surprised that they didn't train so much as they did in Brazil.
Yeah, but I think now we are changing a little bit. You know how now everybody knows everything about around the world. I am here in Brazil, you are in Poland, we are having this conversation with a video. Internet, one of the good things about internet, about this global possibility of information, is to change, to learn, to improve, to teach. And now there's something really more important than this, is the science is inside. The science of sports, the science of the models, and the possibilities to learn how to improve about physical preparation, about psychological preparation, etc. So it's really hard for me nowadays to keep the same level of practice during hours like we had 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. So we need, for example, analyze the schedule that the international players they have now. For example, they stop 1 month before ago in the national championships. They're going to keep playing until September, end of September, beginning of October. The level of practice, the level of performance during all the year is so hard that we coaches, we need to have this on mind and to be really straight about the goals that we need in the clubs, for example, that we can not have this possibility to use the players and to practice more and more and more and more. If we need to improve some skills, for example, we go straight for special practice, okay, really objective things to improve the player, but to keep the juice, okay? We say we keep the power, keep the possibility inside the body for the rest of the week.
How coach Marcelo would describe Marcelo player?
A fighter. First of all, a fighter. One guy that was really strict about himself, and someone, I don't know if is a good word, but perfectionist. Wanted that time to improve, to be better. I am tall, okay? I had really good skills about bagger, okay, in reception and defense, and I was not a jumper, okay? The attack and block, it was not so easy for me like reception and defense, for example. Always, I practice a lot. I was the first one trying to be in the physical preparation and about the results. One guy really strict, and sometimes it was not so good for me because I did too much. I was always in my limits, you understand?
Yes.
But
yes.
I think that I built myself about this possibility to fight. So it doesn't matter if someone is better than me in the other side of the net, but I try to keep my father teach me this. Try your best, try your best, try your best, fight. Doesn't matter how strong is your opponent, try your best. And in the end of the night, you can put your head over the pillow and have a good night sleeping.
Because you won Brazilian championship as a player and as a coach. And I'm wondering right now if you have to say that you were better player or you are better coach that player.
I am sure that I am better coach.
Why? Why? Because, you know, no, like it's not easy to win a championship as a player. Like, and from what I know, you are also the first guy to win a championship as a player and as a coach in the history of Brazilian league.
Yeah, but as a player, I was not in the first six all the time. I was an important player, but a lot of times on the bench. And coming inside, for really hard situations. But my capacity of adaptation was really interesting because in the end of my career, I play as a libero. I am the first libero champion in Brazil.
Because there was new position in volleyball, yeah.
That time I finished that year, okay? And I started with the juniors to became a coach. And during the season, coach and my friends, my partners, they said to me, hey, this new rule is for you. You are good in reception. You are good in defense. Come back. And I come back and you became champion. But I have 10 finals in Brazilian championship. And I have five gold, three as a player and two as a coach, like a head coach. So it's interesting to have this possibility that when you are in the high level to win, and it's really hard to win. So really young, after the end of my career, I became a head coach. And in my first season, we won Brazilian Superliga. And at that time, it was this situation, the first one about Superliga to win. I am the first one and the youngest. First season.
Because
player and head coach.
You finished career in Ulbra and you started your coaching career in Ulbra. And I'm wondering, it was easy for you to transform from being a player to become coach? Because I recently heard an interview with Julio Velasco and he said that the top thing the former player have to do when he becomes a coach is to kill the player that he have inside himself.
I agree 100%. But there is some interesting history about this, that after to win this Brazilian championship, first libero to win, I stopped 2 years. I had a break. Uber at that moment didn't propose me to keep. I had another offers. At that time in Brazil, we start to have the ranking of players. Every team had a limit of points. And they gave me 3 points that time and the max of 7. I said for the directors of Brazilian Federation, you're gonna kill me. I became old. I am only libero. I never play in Brazilian national team. And you give me almost 50% of all the points possible. And it was really hard because the max of points in the team, it was 31. I had really not so good proposals to keep my career, and I stopped during 2 years. And after, Ubra asked me back to become a coach. So this is a really interesting situation because I suppose that time, Ubra, they think, hey, with this guy, we had really good result. Maybe it's time to come to call him back. And it was. It was because we won the moment that I come back, and the season after, we became second, we play final again.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I did a research, I found out that during your first time in Ulbra as a coach, you have chance to work with Ricardinho, Rafael Vera, and Marcelo Negrao, the MVP of 92 Olympic Games. And I'm wondering how it's like, because at that time, okay, Negrao was already great, but Rafael Vera was young, Ricardinho was also, yeah, like not so old. And I wonder how it was like to work with them.
Look, this situation is really interesting because Ricardo was the best one. Okay, it's amazing player. But the character of Ricardo was not so easy. Yes. Ricardo had that time a lot of problems with a lot of teams. And Ubra, it was almost the last option in Brazil for Ricardo. It was not his first option. And I was not a professional, really professional and a famous coach. And probably Ubra beat over me about the future, the possibility. But Ricardo also, Ricardo said, okay, I have nothing to lose to come and to become a leader. Because in that team, it was a lot of youngers inside. A lot of youngers that became good players after, like Riad that played in Trentino a long time ago, after Roberto Minuz, that time it was one of future talent of Brazil, Renato Felizardo. And in the middle of this season, Marcelo Negrão came to us with a big injury, because after Barcelona and during the end of his career, he had a lot of body problems. And Negrão did his recovery with Ubra. And he started to play in the end of the championship. It was a name, but not really 100% ready to play. So it was some situations that step by step we built a really good team, because in the beginning, everybody said, oh, Ricardo is crazy. Marcelo is someone that nobody knows. But in French, you said the food, we have a good taste in the food, that we cook a good food with a good taste during the season. You understand? And la mayonnaise est prête. The French people say like something that the form of the mayonnaise. And Rafael Vieira was really young and was the second of Ricardo. And a lot of times he played because Ricardo had the national team. He had a lot of situations to manage. And when we finished the season and Ricardo had an unbelievable offer from Minas before the end of the season, during the finals, Ricardo asked me and said, I do like to stay, but the money that they are, the offer that I have is wonderful, Marcelo. And I said, Ricardo, you are doing this excellent job, man. I don't think that we can fight against Tomina about this offer. And we think that time to propose to Rafael to become first one. And it was the first time for Rafael to be the first one. I think that it was not a wrong idea.
Yeah, knowing how his career went, because he retired just after last season. So he had a great career. And I'm wondering, because you spent a lot of years in France and it all started in Tourcoing. And I know from our first interview that one of the things that shocked you when you joined Tourcoing was the fact that players were smoking a lot.
You know, I can compare right now, and French volleyball is much more professional. Anyway, maybe this is more a taboo than for European people. This idea that to smoke inside the European society is much more usual than in Brazil, for example. In Brazil, the society has some problems with high-level sportsmen smoking in front of children, in the middle of the society. And when I arrived in France, in Tourcoing, for me, it was a big shock because the players, a lot of players, they smoke in front of fans, in front of children, some meetings with public directors. And I try to find some good idea, because I think that the smoke is not good for sports, for performance. And I stay 5 years in this club. And the first thing that I ask and I could to put in order with the players, with the club, that don't smoke in front of children. Don't give this example that you are a kind of hero for children and you smoke. Please try to protect yourself and protect the children's house. Can be something not so smart, so maybe you can think that this is stupid. But in my point, it was some kind of idea that when we are in high-level sports, professional high levels, we have this responsibility in front of the public, in front of the society, to give the example.
What was the biggest challenge when you moved from Brazil to Europe?
First of all, in Tourcoing, during 3 years, I worked as a head coach and like a physical preparator also. So it was double charge of work. That time, it was really important for me to study a lot and to adapt Brazilian school, my system, my methodology about technical stuff, analytics, practice, sharing the work in the morning, specific for to improve the skills of the players, and the global practice afternoon. This was a big challenge for me because I need to understand French school, Italian school, Polish school, Bulgarian school. I had players different that time. In Brazil, I had only Brazilian players. It was my culture, my language. There, it was important to improve my French, to try to have my practice in English. Okay, I have a really, my English, you can see, is really basic. But it's enough to make my practice. And it's a lot of situations about different cultures, but to understand also the European culture about volleyball. This is what's important for me. How to mix my school inside different schools in Europe.
After a few years, you came back to Brazil. You work with Minas and later with Rio de Janeiro. Which episode you remember better, the time in Minas or the time in Rio de Janeiro, when at the first year you have dream team and the second year it's all went down?
Working Fiat Minas Tennis Club, it was a dream. It's one of the most important clubs around the world and one historical club in Brazil. Is a smart guy that loves volleyball. And you know that in Brazil, sometimes you have really important teams and they are able to stay for 4 years, 5 years, and they finish. Have this problem of system. It's not historical clubs like in Polish, for example, or in French, but Minas is different. Minas is there from less than 60, 70 years. So, and sure that Minas never will finish. So to have this possibility to coach this team coming from French after 6 years, because my name that time in Brazil, they start to forget me. Yeah, when we stay so long outside, everybody. But okay, I had this confidence from Minas and we did a really good job. Minas is a historical club. Now it's not the richest team in Brazil. And that time we could to do fourth place and third place. Okay. And this second year that we have this bronze medal, one of the most interesting thing for me, it was the moment that Lucarelli arrived like in the first six. Okay. In this first year, Lucarelli comes inside some moments, but the moment that Lucarelli became one of the most important players in Brazil, 19 years old, we are working in a good way. It was clear for everybody that the talent of Lucarelli, the real, but it was important to prove, and he could to prove. And after, I go to Rio, and to beat Sada Cruzeiro in the final of Superliga with Bruno, with William play in Sada, Bruno with me, Lucas, Dante, Thiago Alves, Wallace. This is amazing. 14,000 people Sunday morning TV. We get out from there and you go celebrate on the streets, on the beach. It was amazing, amazing.
How is it like to coach these stars? Because, okay, you have, every team. You have like the main stars who are famous and you have these young guys or maybe the role players. And how you can teach them your way of thinking as a coach, your coaching philosophy, because look at the guy like Negrão or Bruno or Dante. They have already a lot of coaches. They work with a lot of coaches. And how you share your vision with them? It was easy for you to work with like this such experienced player?
You know, that's some funny situation. And I suppose that some coaches just share. I already shared this with you that it's much more easy to work with a really good player than a player not so good. A really good player is able to understand if you have good ideas. And I believe a lot in coherence. So if you are some guy that I study, you are serious and you try to work hard. The first situation in leadership for me is to show the example. So for me, working with Bruno or Dante, for example, I am there all the time at time with good clothes, good situation. I never let go during the practice. I always with a big attention, a big focus for the exercise. And it was really serious attitude from me with my staff also. And we could to show to the guys that we were able to have the level. So after it's about volleyball. It's about to play volleyball. Okay. We cannot to build again everything, but we just take the good examples and we try to give some ideas also. I think that all the coaches, good coaches, it's important for us to show our personality also. Okay. I can say to you, it was not so easy. We had a lot of pressure. This is the only gold medal that Rio de Janeiro, Departamento Rio de Janeiro has in Superliga. This is crazy because in Rio, it's how important is a men's volleyball in Rio de Janeiro, the Brazilian school. So I think that moment with a lot of stars, with a lot of pressure, expectation also, everybody decide, hey, we go until the last game of the year, last set of the year, and we're going to win. It was a collective decision, and even hard, the result was really good.
As a coach who have a chance to work with Bruno Rezende and Ricardinho, I'm wondering, because I grew up watching their rivalry in a Brazil national team squad, who was better?
It's not so easy to say something like that. If you talk only about talent, okay, it's Ricardo. But if you talk about a complete player, it's Bruno. Because Bruno, even he can play like a spiker. Now, maybe not now, but Bruno was... when you don't have so much talent, like Ricardo, for example, for Bruno, it was really important to work the double. And I think that with all this pressure over him, Bruno is the son of Bernardo Rezende. Yes. Bernardo Rezende has 6 Olympic medals, 2 gold. The first coach with women's team to have Olympic medal. Bernardo Rezende is the history of Brazilian volleyball. And he is a model in Brazil. He is a model around the world. I think that if Bernardo knocked the door of the Polish club now and proposed his CV, a lot of Polish clubs gonna, hey, come and we take you, okay? Around the world, he has proposed in U.S. university. So Bruno has this weight over the shoulders. And of course, that the talent, it's not the same, okay? But the quality of Bruno about all the skills, all the situations, and how long he's doing this is wonderful. I stay with this answer, with the talent and with the player able to fight more and to keep a long time and to be a leader. Unbelievable, Bruno.
You talk a little bit about this financial problems of Brazil clubs, and I'm wondering what is the reason that Brazilian volleyball has a lot of problems, because as I said before, I spoke with Roberta Radzke and she said to me that she knows a lot of players that coming to play even in the second leagues in Europe because they offer better money than in Brazil. Okay, they have to provide money for their families. There is their job. So they're going, you know, to Europe, to even smaller clubs because they offer much money than in Brazil. And she said that even Bernardinho, who is like the famous person, has a struggle to find a sponsor to the clubs.
The first situation is easy to understand. That's 1 euro. Euro today pay 5.3 Brazilian money, reais. Yeah. So the difference is about 5.3. So in Europe, young Brazilian player, for example, he can come and open the market also. Do one interesting season in clubs, even in second division, and that open a big market for the good leagues, etc. And the second situation, and this is a story, and it's really hard to say, to confirm, but our club's volleyball championship is not professional, not like in Poland or in French or in Italy or Turkey. Still, the federation is controlling Brazilian championship. I don't agree about this idea. I think that we must have an independent league that control the championship, like Plus Liga, for example. So with the federation, we built the idea to promote volleyball of national teams and volleyball of clubs. This is the big difference. And in Europe, it's like that. One of the most important goals of Plus Liga is to have volleyball every day on TV. We have in Poland volleyball, women's, men's, second division, doesn't matter. And more you have public, we have money inside, you have sponsors inside. Everybody wants to have this idea that to do volleyball, to play volleyball, to be close to volleyball, it's something important. And importantly for us, it's only about national team. So we have a lot of money, we have a lot of media, TV on for Brazilian national teams, and this is not for the club. So less clubs, less youngs come, and my region, my department, we call Rio Grande do Sul, the southest department near to Argentina and Uruguay. We had 5-6 years ago, we had 4 professional teams inside Superliga, and now we have 0. You can understand, for example, André Heller comes from this region, Gustavo comes from this region, Jorge Edson, Olympic champion in Barcelona, comes from this region, Paulão comes from this region. How many important players and women also come from this region? And now the youngest, when they arrive around 16, 17, or they need to move to São Paulo, Minas, another and far departments, or they stop. That is not a politic for to improve the possibility to youngers to arrive in good in high level.
Do you see a chance that these problems will be solved in the near future?
I hope. To be honest, I hope. Okay, we have a big change now. The old president is dead 1 month ago. And now we have a new board with the vice president. It was one important coach, even in national team, Radamés Lattari. He's in the head of all the system now. And there is a big discussion and the questions about how to manage and how to organize Brazilian national championship with clubs. I think that before we talk about this idea that the product that has a lot of marketing and the money inside, that the volleyball product in Brazil, it's the national team, women and men. But Sada Cruzeiro is able, for example, with a good money, good budget, always to propose world championships here in Brazil. Even I regret a lot that we don't have Polish teams coming. We are able to have good teams and good possibilities. But for me, this is the big question is federation keeps the organization about Brazilian national teams and the clubs, they have organization like in Poland, like Plus Liga and Lega Volley in Italy to organize the championship. More and more we have fans, we have public that loves volleyball. We are living in a moment like my beginning, the beginning of 8 years. Soccer is not so in a good position, international good position now, and volleyball keep growing up. So I think that this gap we need to catch.
And when we talk about Brazilian volleyball, what are your opinion about the Wallace and all this behavior towards threatening the president and all these sanctions, the fact that he played despite the ban? What are you thinking about this?
I think that Wallace did a big mistake. Okay, we cannot say that one Olympic champion, one so important player, can put his personal ideas in public, in social media. It was a big risk. The importance of the image of Wallace for youngers, for Brazilian public, it's really high. So just to take a gun like that and even joking, propose the idea that who would like to kill the president? Maybe I don't like my president. Maybe you don't like your president. But the president is the person most, the most important person in the country. So some kind of respect and for a famous player, this is really important. After that, when I talk to you about this disorganization between clubs and federation, for example, the situation of Wallace is just represent a little bit the situation, okay? Because the president of SADA, Mr. Medioli, he is fighting against the federation all the time. So Wallace, he was out and he find a way to forcing the idea that to put Wallace again. And the Brazilian committee go inside to find a solution. It was some kind of war between the club and the federation. So the most important organism inside Brazilian sports, the Olympic Committee, they need to go inside and to say, no, this way is not good. This is not good. And even Wallace play before the limit of his problem. It was supposed to stay one more week before the end of the separate league out, but they did some action under the law, sportive law, to put Wallace, and Wallace did the last point. This is a big mess, big problem, and I think that Wallace understand now that like a public person, so important and Olympic champion, and so wonderful player, he cannot have the right to put this kind of proposal in social media.
Let's go back to your career, because you work in Brazil, you work in Russia before the war years ago. You also work in Italy and Poland. And I want to focus about these three leagues, Brazil, Russia, Italy and Polish. Which league gives you the most satisfaction, when you enjoy the most of working as a coach in Italy, when you have chance to work with my good buddy Benjamin Patch in Russia or in Kuprum Lubin?
Look, Poland for me, it's amazing. Okay, it's amazing about public, about fans, about organization, how much is important volleyball Siatkówka in Poland. This is amazing. For me, this is amazing, okay? I had short time in Russia because they find me out in the middle of the season. But the mentality for me was not my kind of way, okay? I could to find passionate people like me in Poland. And you know that I love a lot the history of sports. And I was really interesting about Poland in the 70s with this world championship, with this Olympic championship, golden medals that time, with a team that could to beat Russians without so strong volleyball, etc. So in Italy also short time, but I think that Poland has the best organization that you can have. Okay. Unfortunately for me, I could to have some moments, special moments with Cooper Lubin. You know very well that the budget in Lubin and the expectation there is just to save the team, just to play Plusliga next season, the place in Plusliga. And for a coach, it's really hard to have only this idea on mind. But when I analyze my time there, I can have this perception that the work was really good. It was really good because it was low money, not so good conditions about halls, about the quantity of players. And we could to beat Belhatov. We could to make a wonderful result against Zax, a victory there against this first moment that Zax became champion of Europe. So the league are quite similar. Okay, but the culture of volleyball in Poland and the approach of the public and the institution also, I think, is the best.
Now we are discussing if Plusliga is the best league in the world or Serie A. What are your opinion?
I think Polish Plusliga is the best one, okay? If you talk about to be famous, a lot of people, a lot of players, they want to show themselves in Italy. Maybe you have a little bit more marketing around the world, a little bit more media, okay? But people, public, cities, regions, how important is volleyball for the country? I have no doubts that Polish championship is the best.
You talked before a little bit about this, but what was the biggest challenge? What shocked you the most when you joined Kuprum, when you start playing against Plusliga teams?
I could not to help, for example, president to build the first team. When I arrived, everything was done, okay? Yeah. They had an Italian coach that decided to leave in the last moment. He had some problems at home and he decided don't stay. So I arrived with this idea that Lubin was a correct team years before with correct money from KGHN, okay? That's really good company. But that time, the money was not so interesting to propose good contracts for good players. And I was I was really surprised about the structure and the conditions to play Plusliga. So these challenges was amazing, amazing, amazing. Just to keep looping that moment in this first season. Between the best team in Plusliga, this for me it was something like Goliath, Samsung Goliath. I don't know how do I say this in Polish, but this legend that the small one against the giant all the time, and I felt really good that moment. That this challenge with no money, no good conditions, no good structure, and to play and getting some points against Jastrzemski, Belhatov. So year after year, step by step, we could bring really interesting players to play in Kuprum Lubin. Ferenc, Miguel Tavares, Jimenez. I could also to study and to say second division and Kamil Mariuszek, that come from Wrocław and he could to show himself in Plusliga. I was understand the system. And this challenge, for me, it was really important. I can think and imagine that if I could stay a little bit more time in Kuprum, probably I could to have proposal from other clubs, because I feel really good in Poland with a good capacity to read the level, the championship, and work in the with the culture of really good culture of volleyball in Poland.
Do you have a little bit of satisfaction seeing the players you coach there, like Shimura, Lipinski, Tavares, Jimenez, how their career grow up since you work with them?
Yeah, I try to find, I try to follow them, and I have a lot of contacts with the staff, the old staff. Now they have some changes, but Rufio in national team also. Rufi national team, this is amazing. Bartek Bielenda for me is one of the best physical coach in Poland. Okay, and I hope this guy, I know that he's out from Lubin now, but for me, I hope that he's gonna find his place in volleyball, in Polish volleyball. He's really good. And for the players, it was an important moment that Miguel Tavares arrived in a small club, and now he is in the best clubs in the championship, fourth place last year, MVP a lot of times, building good history with Xavier Tie. But I think a lot, and I say thank you to Tomasz, the president, about everything that he is doing for the club. But I have on mind this idea that Kuprum Lubin, the city, the company, the public there, they deserve a little bit more. Okay, it's a really good hall. It's a good culture in the city about sports. I would like to see President Tomasz having a little bit more power and people around him to build something better. I hope that Rufio now in national team, he can organize this.
You talk a lot of good things about Plus Liga, but do you have some bad stories? There was something that was annoying you when you work in Poland?
Michał, when we coach a small team, you know that the challenge against the big teams gonna be really hard. Yes. And sometimes for me, it was really, I was a little bit disappointed that the way that, for example, the treatment about the small teams, about low budget, and even about the referees, for example. How many times I had this feeling that if a doubt about situation, it was always for the the strongest team. And I have some moments like that. But for me, I keep on mind this feeling not so good about all the possibilities of Lubin. Okay, for me, this city, and knowing that years ago, we had more money there and more organization. For me, I would like in the future to have this possibility to see, to watch Kuprum Lubin with a good approach from the company and the city growing up and fighting to play playoff again. I was so close in my last year, only four points with the last season with COVID, with a lot of transfer problems without public inside. But that team, it was arrived only 4 points to play playoff. It was, it could be a wonderful dream and a realization to play playoff with that team.
And what do you think about the idea that Plus Liga is now bigger, that there are two more teams and they are a team from Ukraine that playing in Poland?
I think that is a big risk. And I appreciate the idea that they try to share responsibilities and calling Ukraine and really, really good school with this catastrophic moment under war, etc., etc. The problem for me, it's about the law. How hard can be for the players, for the staff, for the coach also, but more for the players, using his body to play volleyball so long and so intense during the season after a really long international season. We talk about how we are organizing national teams, how many competitions these international players they are playing. And when they come back to home, everybody think about to have only 12, maybe 14 teams, and now 16, maybe 17, maybe 18 teams. It's that the charge, the load, it's amazing and it's really hard. And I am a little bit worried about this kind of situation.
I'm curious about the coach perspective of working with the players that, as you said, they played in the clubs and also in the national teams. Because, as you know, from now the World Championship will be played every 2 years. And and you have like guys like from Zaxa, like Śliwka, that he plays a lot in the league, in the Champions League. Shortly after Champions League, okay, he hasn't played in the first VNL tournaments, but now he will play, then he will have a European Championship, Olympic qualification, and the next season. And from your perspective, coach, how coaches should work with such players?
This player is wonderful, and I think that all the fans around the world want to keep watching him a long time. I repeat, I am afraid about the health of players like Śliwka that play last game in the club season, 17 May, I think, something like that.
20 maybe, yeah. Even.
Yeah, okay, something yeah. like that. And 8 days after, they start Nations League. 1 week to stay at home, to visit the parents, maybe to cross the world, come back from Poland to US or Brazil to say hello to, I don't know. And after coming back in the really strict system that we need to train, we need to practice. And Nations League now with some games in Philippines or Thailand, Brazil, Poland, around the world. I don't know where you're going to arrive with this kind of situation. Even it's good for sponsors, it's good for the image of a volleyball, but we don't have teams with 25 players. We have teams sometimes with 12 players. 12 players living a really intense season in the clubs and a really, really more intense season in the national teams. In a moment, we're going to pay the price. And everybody under pressure with this idea about ranking. Yes. You know very yes, well that yes. if Poland or Brazil lose against Venezuela, for example, or against Egypt, a team is at not a good place in the ranking, it's amazing. We can lose a lot of points and the places. And this run is really important for Olympic qualification.
Yes, because in Poland, yeah, we have with women team, that women team fighting active for the points of ranking. And with Polish team, we have a situation that for a win with Netherlands, we score like 0.01 point. But when we lose against Serbia, we lost about 16 points. So like the teams like in the top, it's easy for them to lose points. But the score, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. I am happy that now International Federation, they adapted and they put Russia out of the ranking also. That's it. Yeah. It was amazing to have Russia without play
second
for
two place
years now. Better than the teams that are, yeah. are winning the Nations League. But under pressure, with a lot of competitions, a lot of expectations from local sponsors, international sponsors also, in a moment, we're going to pay the price. And I hope that in a moment, we're going to think about, okay, in this kind of competition this year, in this moment, at this moment, we're going to put out some important players to give opportunity for youngers. I hope that the international coaches, international federations, they will think and they will fight also with international federation to have this possibility to use more players and young players. If don't, one guy as a really important outside hitter, Śliwka, or another one, Lucarelli, in a moment they're going to break. They will have a lot of problems.
When we spoke first time, we talked a little bit about your time in Brazil national team. I know there was some good stories, some bad stories, some stories that shouldn't be said in public. But from the perspective of years, what are your best memories about working in Brazil national team and working with Del Zotto and a lot of great players?
To arrive in national team, 50 years old, it was for me something amazing. I was not thinking more about this. In my golden years in Brazil, really young, I dreamed about this idea to become assistant or coach, etc., etc. After Rio 2012 also, everybody said to me, Marcelo, maybe after Bernardo and after the team go down, yeah. no money, etc., and I need to go right, left, in front, back. So I lose a little bit my approach with national teams. So that time I come and arrive and I work like a crazy guy, okay? It was really intense and important work. And I say thank you to Renan Dazzotto to invite me. And we had this championship in Japan. They call this
World Cup.
World Cup, but it was not World Cup.
Yes, because you have World Championship and World Cup.
We have this really good result there. This is what's really important, to win with Brazil. We had that moment, this defeat against Poland in the final of World Championship 2018. You are happy that you arrive in final, but we lose 3-0 with this wonderful team, with Vital Heinen, head coach, and this team that day. It was amazing. But when we have this pressure over an important national team like Brazil, and you are able to win, this is something important. And 2-time South American championship, this kind of a small situation, this I keep on my mind. And after, of course, bad feeling about to be put out, out so close to Olympic Games. But this is the life, man. And now I turn the page and I keep straight. Maybe one day, and I dream with this idea, doesn't matter where. I don't think that's going to be with Brazil, but to play Olympic Games. And I'm going to fight for this.
And what do you think about the current Brazilian team? Do you think they have a chance to win gold medal in the Olympics next year?
I think, to be honest, there is a really good mentality in Brazil about work, about to represent the country. Now, I am watching some change now, okay? And I say bravo for Brazilian technical staff. Zé Roberto with the women's team, he did this before. I think that Renan Dazzotto in Tokyo, he stayed with the big part of the players from Bernardo. We didn't have many new players after Rio. William was not there, Felipe was not there, but how many important players they keep playing? And probably this is my feeling, my perception, that we could use other younger players in Tokyo. Brazil was so close to have this bronze medal, even to qualify to final against Russia. But I don't know, some older players, the level was not so high like before, but this was decision of coach. And now we can see Honorato, Adriano, Judson, even Lucas and Bruno are there. But this new team has really good mentality work. And we have good, this is a joke, but a really good t-shirt sometimes. Sometimes the other teams, they are a little bit impressed about Brazilian t-shirt because there's a lot of golden medals in the history of this country.
You mentioned Zé Roberto. I'm curious because he's the guy that won gold medal with men, gold medal with women. He's working for 3 decades in two Brazilian national teams, and his teams are still on the top. What is his secret to be so successful throughout these decades?
I had the opportunity to play against Zé Roberto.
Wow. Okay. So long time ago.
In the beginning of my career, maybe 35 years ago, okay, I was starting a professional player, and Zé Roberto was finishing in the end, and was a guy with setter, really good mentality, quality, but a behavior, unbelievable behavior, a winner and a fighter. Okay. And I am sure that Zé Roberto, during his career as a player, he could to have a lot of good coaches, a lot of good possibilities to understand and to study another cultures, another mentalities. Zé Roberto was one of the guy that we talked before that he did this kind of contact with Japanese volleyball.
Yes.
Zé Roberto had this opportunity as a player to go to Japan, Matsudaira, and to learn from that team, Olympic champion in Japan. So Zé Roberto speaks English. If Zé Roberto speaks Italian, he could work in Turkey, in Italy. It's someone that inspired a lot because he is there almost 70 or 70 already, but always with this young attitude, learning. The secret of Zé Roberto for me is to be open to learn. And if I can take something from him, I want, even 15, 55 years old, I think that I have a lot of things to learn.
And what was the story behind your short time in Slovenia national team last year?
I have a really good approach and respect for Mark Lebedew. I think Mark has a wonderful way in his life, in professional life. One guy that decided to come from Australia to Europe only with the money to leave some mouths and to find some jobs. And he started to work around all the countries. He has experience in Belgium, in French, in Poland, in German, with his national team in Australia. We all the time that we meet, we change a lot, and I respect a lot the way that Mark coach and the work that he does and the teams that he is head coach. So it was a new moment for him, and he just asked me to stay sometimes. In the beginning, it was to do all the project from the beginning until the world championship, but it was so hard for me because my season in Tour was really, really hard. And I decided to come home, but immediately he called me again and Marcelo, come, please help me. And but in the same time, I was not so clear for me, I go or not. But in the end, I appreciate a lot because he gave me again this opportunity to see, to live, to share the high level, the national high level, and to show myself also and to understand a little bit more the system of Mark. I could to see that Mark is a really good coach. Maybe sometimes different ideas from me, but with this kind of situation, we learn, and I could to learn one more time.
This season, you finally won a championship with Tour. I remember when we spoke last year after this unlucky season, because you were dominating the league, you were beating almost everybody, and you finished the season with a lot of second places in French Cup, in CEF Cup, and championship. This season in league, you weren't so dominant as you were a year ago, but still you won the championship. Now, if you think about this two seasons, what was the difference between the first one and the second one?
We have some kind of sentence in this sport, that's the last image that's the most important.
Yes.
Okay. And this year, we think a lot about this. Inside the staff, well, last year and with the players, the idea, we're gonna win everything. We're gonna win everything. And this year, before to start the season, we said and we think, okay, between to win everything and to win something, we're gonna take the second opportunity, the second idea. So we work during all the season with this idea that it was clear for us with our team, with the quality of our work and with the tradition of Tour Volleyball, it was really possible to arrive in conditions to play finals and to win. So we did step by step. Maybe our result in Champions League was not so good because we finished in the first playoff after qualification phase. But it's the first time that Tour Volleyball get out from the first qualification for playoffs from 2017. This is as good. This is a good idea. Okay, we are growing up. We are changing some histories in the club. Now is moment to arrive in playoffs, French Cup, and the championship. So French Cup, we had really hard games against Montpellier, champion, yeah. French champion that time, yes, against yes. Tourcoing, really good team with Canadian guys, and against Narbonne, really good team. So Nice in the final, it was a good game, okay? But our finals, we play before the final. You understand? So that moment, we have this French Cup. Everybody was a little bit more calm. It was the history about 2 years. And in the end of the second year, we could have this cup. So after, during the playoff, and this formula, French formula, is completely crazy because you have only two games in the final. And if you have 1-1, we play golden set. And we lose 3-0 the first game, and we play really bad, and Chaumont play really good. And we stay like that in this kind of situations, under pressure. But that time, I could to feel in my players this perception about calm and focus. And was hard week, work with a lot of approach and the speech. In a moment, I ask you to the guys to be a little bit more inside. And I provoke a little bit my group exactly about the sentence that you said in the question is, we are dominate French volleyball for 2 years. There's no doubt that we can do the job at home. It was amazing because never in this last game, we had doubt. And we won almost easy this game in Golden Set. Michal, for me, like I said before, to confirm the good work sometimes we need to win. I was looking for this a long, long time.
So how you felt after the end of the last action in this final? You were happy or maybe you felt some kind of relief that finally you won this?
Finally. It was like, okay, I did. It was not, it was not this kind of crazy behavior and crazy feelings about to celebrate and run. No, I just could to have the opportunity to kiss my wife. She was there. She go inside the court. Big hug. And I think inside my mind, we did the job. And this is really important. To confirm, to win is really hard. Even you are favorite, even you have good money, you have good structure, but in a moment, you need to decide and to confirm. And this is a really important pressure that we need to leave when we are professional coach.
I'm curious about these feelings of coaches because when I spoke with Karl Szkirali, he said that after the end of the Olympic final in Tokyo, like half an hour after the end, he started instantly thinking about the players that he could use in the next Olympics. He said, like, I didn't celebrate a lot, maybe in the first minutes, but after 30 minutes, I started thinking, okay, maybe she will be too old. Okay, maybe I will this. That's why I ask you about the feelings. And most of the coaches said that it's relief, that like stone came from their back.
Exactly. That's the stone is out from the shoulders. Okay. I cannot compare my career with this wonderful and golden guy, Olympic champion, inside volleyball, beach volleyball. This guy is amazing. Now, head coach, Olympic champion also. I think he has four gold.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's clear that in a moment that when you are sure that the things you're going to realize the dream, you start to have ideas. For me, it was the end of a cycle, a moment also in tour. I arrived, I had a lot of players under contract. I had to work with these guys. The energy was really good. And for other guys, not so good. We need to be really professional about that and do the job. Even someone doesn't appreciate you or you doesn't appreciate someone, but you are there. You are under contract with the club. We need to have a focus about our mission. And for me, this is the idea. It was, I did with this group. I did with the conditions that I had. Now I have a lot of youngers. My team is really young for the next season. And I want to be really honest to build another kind of approach and behavior between the players and between staff and players. You can have the perception, I have a really important human approach. I am not this kind of pragmatic or really technical guy about only numbers, etc. The life and the human being is something really important, and the relationships are really important for me. So I believe even with a big difference between generations, I will be able to build something a little bit more calm and positive. Even I have really good results, okay? Take this responsibility. But maybe for me, for my life, for my staff, and for the players also, if you can find some idea, common idea, to build the group spirit in a different way.
I was a little bit surprised because you signed the contract extension to 2026, correct? Yes?
Yeah.
In volleyball environment, this is rare. Like they're signing the contract for 1 year, maybe max 2 years, and you are for so long. So that means you feel so happy, so comfortable. What if, you know, the better club from the better leagues will call you, Marcelo, we want you?
But we can have this possibility. This is the life. But Michal, my manager said to me, Marcelo, it's so early to sign so long contract. You are doing really good job. You get out from a small team in Poland with a really good job in this small team. And now you promote yourself in this good league, new league, French new league, etc. Take your time, maybe 1 year. But I have the project to have my family close to me. Until now, my family stay in Brazil and I stay alone in Europe. Always with these long trips during the season, my wife coming 2-3 times, etc. And now we decide, because we have 2 sons, Eduardo, 26 years old, and Pedro, 19 years old. Pedro finished the high school and he go to university. And when they were younger, really young, the both, we live long time in French, 6 years. Okay. So now with my wife, we decide we come back and we try to have a family life again. Even Eduardo is staying in Brazil, but okay, Eduardo is big one now. With Pedro, we have this trio together, and let's build something also about the career of Pedro and my wife trying to come back to the, his friends in French. We have good connections there. I am happy about this, okay? And even I could to think in better proposals in another countries, in better leagues, etc. But I think that the work that we are doing in Tour at this moment is something really good. And we can have good results in the future around, even in Europe, I think. Okay. And I hope that I'm going to surprise you about my results.
I know that this is not sport related, but I always interesting about this aspect, how you handle, because as you said, now you will have your wife and one son with you in France, but how you handle this distance? Your family was in Brazil and you were sitting alone, all the weddings, birthdays, other parties, and only way for you to see this was through the WhatsApp.
Yeah, we need to adapt it about this, but... My father and my mother, they teach me about responsibility. And as a married man and father, I have responsibilities. And to have the possibility to be good in this kind of situation, it was really important to find a job, a team, a contract that can pay my bills.
Yes.
And I can give also to my family good possibility to live. In Brazil nowadays, you have only 3 teams paying correct money: Sada, Minas, and SESI. The other teams, it's not enough. For example, for the things that I believe important about education, about health, and the only way for me it was come to Europe with important leagues, with good perspective in for the future, and good correct money also. Now after this moment when my son was finishing high school and my wife, a lot of things in family to decide here, we could to sit, to talk and to decide. It's not a really easy decision. My mother is old. Maura has family. My wife has family also here. We have dogs. The dogs will stay. It's a lot of small details and things. But for me, it was... To stay alone in Europe during these last 5 years, it was like a mission that I show the quality of my work and I fight for good contracts in a moment my family come to me.
You said that you have a dream to be a coach at the Olympics. And what about another dreams? Could you share?
I would like really at least with Tour to play in the next 3 years. Or maybe 5. I don't know if I'm going to stay for 5, but in French with a French club to play a Final Four in Champions League. I believe this is possible. Okay. Even the difference of about budget and money, it's big. And when I talk to you about Olympic Games, it doesn't matter. It's going to be like as a head coach or second coach, maybe manager. But I would like to have this experience. Come back for international team and play world championship also. I would like to live, to have this possibility to live again in this level.
How you see yourself in next 10 years?
I think that I can keep working as a head coach. I imagine about more 10 years. I feel myself strong to keep practicing and coaching for more 10 years in high level. Okay. After we're going to decide. But I don't think that I will get out from sports. I don't talk about only high level sports. I have a lot of pleasure to work with children, to work with teenagers. And volleyball give me a lot. I have this opportunity to watch you and to share this kind of information in different language for you, for me. Even my level in English is not so perfect, but I am able to communicate in another language, to share information, to arrive in, and to know different cultures. This is something that's really important. It's really rich for me. Okay. I have a good family. I can eat in a good way. For a simple and humble guy, okay, this is a lot. So volleyball gives me a lot. I want to have this in my life for some years, and after give back to the world also.
And at the end, I would like to know your all-time best squad. Say one setter, two outside hitters, one opposite, two middle blockers, and one libero.
Oh la la.
And with a little explanation why you choose. And you can choose from different eras and different...
But only about men's?
Yes, men's. Only about... yeah.
Okay. 2 years ago, the wonderful Russian setter is dead. Aye.
Vadim. I know about who you're talking about.
His son is playing in Italy. Zaitsev.
Okay. Ah, Zaitsev. Yeah. Vyacheslav.
Zaitsev, for me, it was amazing. Okay. William, Brazilian in the 80s, it was amazing. Fabiani was amazing. Dustin Dvorak was amazing. Ricardinho maybe is the most talented guy that I ever saw, and I had the opportunity to play. So I say Ricardo about Ricardinho.
Okay,
about
so as a setter, we have Ricardinho. Now, outside hitters.
Two outside hitters. Karch Kirli, of course. Okay. And Cantagalli, for example, I appreciate a lot. But there is a lot of...
Yes, that's tough. Yes,
Tomas.
Yes.
Tomas from the 70s.
Vitovic.
Exactly. Vitovic. Help me.
Vitovic.
Tomas?
Tomas Vitovic.
It's amazing.
Opposite. Best opposite.
Opposite. Negrão.
And two middle blockers.
Two middle blockers. La. Gardini.
Andrea.
Gardini. Yeah. Craig Buck. Why not?
And
you remember this guy?
Not from history, like from archive.
Yeah.
And at the end, okay, libero. And at the end, libero. And why libero? You will put Marcelo Franskowiak.
No. Sergio. Zatorski. Zatorski is amazing guy.
So Sergio or Zatorski?
Half. one for defense, one for...
Okay, coach. Obrigado for this interview. It was a big pleasure to hosting you and to hear your stories.
It's a big pleasure. Dziękuję bardzo. Mio poznać.